Newsman, got a new segment I'd like to hit you with.
Yes, good.
Now, I like names that... I prefer a name that explains what it is rather than these catchy, grabby, razzle-dazzle things.
Okay.
So the name of this segment, you're looking at me like, who are you? Name of the segment is The Craziest Headline I Saw This Week.
That is very well-crafted.
Because this is the craziest headline I saw this week. It, I mean, just explains itself.
Yes.
Beautifully, I think. Here it is. It reads like this. Lindsay Lohan punched in face after accusing couple of child trafficking.
Now, I know you won't believe this, but I saw that, and I saw the image of Lindsay, the still image of her looking a bit upset. And I just moved on because I thought, well, that's Lindsay Lohan, and she's... crazy as a cut snake, so move on.
You expect crazy stories.
But I look forward to you going into details because I have now watched it and I am puzzled.
There's a few elements in the headline. Lindsay Lohan, one.
Yes.
You know there's crazy coming. Punched in the face.
Yes.
We've got violence.
Yep.
Accusing couple of child trafficking. Mm. So there's like people smuggling ring.
How has she got mixed up in this?
No one knows. The footage was taken in Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have seen it, you will remember that she starts the video by saying, there's something I've got to show you all right now. And she hops out of a car. She goes up to some apparently refugees sitting on the street. And she says, tell me your story so I can help you.
Mm. She's filming, right? Feels like.
Things progress. At some point, I remember her saying, the whole world is watching right now. Which I think was probably an exaggeration.
Mm. Probably a good reflection of how she perceives what she's doing.
Nothing else more important than this is going on right now. I mean, it would have probably been watched by... It's probably been watched by millions.
Yeah. Yes.
Certainly not the whole world.
More so afterwards.
More so afterwards, I would say. And those who have seen it really... majority are just scratching their heads because having gone from wanting to help the refugees, she suddenly, for some reason, starts accusing them of trying to kidnap a kid. She chases after them. She is at times yelling at them in, I think, Arabic, or maybe it's like a mix of American, English, Arabic.
Do you think it was anything or
gibberish
that sounded like...
I don't know. Yeah. She accuses the family of ruining Arabic culture for some reason at some point. Reaches a climax when the mum has finally had all she can take, turns around, socks Lindsay Lohan fair in the face. And Lindsay reacts in a way that she seems absolutely flabbergasted. That someone who she was essentially...
tailing.
Yes. Borderline, you know, almost assault. Like,
yeah.
You can't just chase people, can you? Like, there's something criminal about that.
For what? How long do you think she was walking behind them?
I don't know. The video did look like it might have been edited.
Yeah.
At a glance, maybe. So who knows? Anyway, that the woman who would finally have had a gutful of this crazy person chasing them turns around, takes a swing at Lohan, connects. It's hard to really see. And Lindsay, disbelief. What is... she can't believe it. And I think at that point she suddenly feels more sorry for herself than the kid that she thought was being kidnapped.
Yeah.
So
does she actually at one point grab the kid and go, come with me?
Something like that.
I mean, that's crossing without any... I mean, walking behind the person's bad enough. If you've got no proof and you're just taking kids off the street.
I haven't seen a bigger unfounded celebrity accusation than since when Elon Musk slurred the Thai cave diver. Remember that?
Yeah. Yes, that's led to...
legal action.
Him stepping down, blah, blah, blah.
I still don't think he's proven that. And I don't think Lindsay has proven that this was child trafficking anyway. Who are these people? And why are we talking about it more than point? Anyway. But the reason we're talking about it is because it was the craziest headline I saw this week.
Well, and it's the most accurate. Like, we've spent 5 minutes, almost 5 minutes digesting it, but it's all there in the headline. It's all there.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think this story appealed to so many people, especially after the fact. I have a theory.
Hit me with it.
I think we like that she was brought brought back to reality. Like, we are in Moscow. I don't care if you are Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
You're copying it. Get away.
The story works because it was the mum that hit Lohan in the face. Yeah. If it was a man, if it was the dad, then all of a sudden it would be a different tone on the story. Mm. Like the mum, you think, oh, okay. The dad did it, then it would be like, whoa, what? But maybe what you're saying is everyone's secretly, happy to have seen Lohan get socked in the face by a grieved mum.
Yes, celebrities acting poorly, you sort of want them to be held to account. So
Russian style.
Hey, we don't know if Lindsay Lohan was actually onto something big here, but we'll never probably find out because, yeah.
Do you know what? If you're onto something big, you go down the proper channels. You don't accost people on the street with a phone in their face.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, especially, so it, as far as you get it, is that this is her meeting these people for the first time.
I'm not going to.
And then quickly from tell me your story so I can do a documentary on you to, yeah.
The other part of this story is that Lohan is kind of felt to be in a personal and professional nosedive at this point. Mm. And maybe this is her kind of bottoming out, doing crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Getting involved in an altercation. It's just like, oh, there's Lindsay again.
I am from the wrong generation. So do you, once you put something on social media, do you stick fat with it? Do you stay with it?
Mm.
Because I would have, if I was her, looked at that and gone, hey,
delete.
That did not work.
Delete.
Delete. And maybe some people would have caught it, but there's no reports that she tried to quickly pull that off her social media account or anything.
She published it herself.
Yeah.
Which makes you think, Lindsay, was this more about the refugees or was it more about you?
Mm.
I mean, I think we probably all suspect it might be the latter.
Mm. She's a ref. She's her own refugee in the world of fame. She's been cast aside. Yes. She has no home.
Yep, she needs asylum. Help her.
Now, speaking of social media and phones and what you can do with them, there's a new study out, I believe, or a new stats, new research.
Yeah, a new study out revealing that hundreds of people have died taking selfies. What a waste. Precious gift of life.
Mm.
And you've lost yours in the pursuit of the perfect selfie. They're being called selficides. The study analysed news articles. Between 2011 and 2017, 259 deaths were reported.
Mm.
The study authors say this is just the tip of the iceberg because most cases aren't even reported.
Mm.
So this is a new phenomenon that the world has never dealt with before. This is new territory. You might be wondering, actually, I've got here for you, in case you are wondering, the where, the who, and the how of this thing.
Yes.
Where are these selfie sides happening?
Where are they happening?
Highest number of incidents of selfie death is in India.
Mm-hmm.
50% of all the selfie sides happen in India. Then it was Russia, then it was the US, then it was Pakistan. Now, they say 50%, more than 50% happened in India. The study authors say this unique feature could be attributed to the reason that the trend of group selfies is more prevalent in India as compared to other countries. So I don't know what's happening in India. It sounds like a
so they like rugged group selfies more.
Hmm. That's apparently the thing. Yep. So if you got, so maybe that means the more of you trying to get in on the selfie,
yep,
you're going to lose a couple.
Right.
Couple,
so you're
a couple off the back of the
spilling
ravine
onto the road, or
mm-hmm,
you're really distracted. So many people.
Now, who is? I mean, this is sad. This is awful. But who are the people who are dying in these selfies? Okay, well, they're pretty young. Average age is 22.9 years.
Mm.
So let's call it 23. It's 23 probably is prime selfie death zone.
I'm surprised. Well, I would have thought it would be younger almost. But
Once you hit 30, your likelihood of dying in a selfie incident in the incident drastically reduces. And
3/4 over 3/4 men.
Yeah. And that no one's surprised by that.
No.
All right, how are they dying? It's a bit morbid, but I guess you want to know this so you know not to do it.
Yes.
Arm yourselves with the facts. If you want to not die by selfie.
By self-aside.
Avoid these. The top 3 causes of dying were drowning, being hit by a vehicle, or falling.
Yes.
So that says to me, a lot of waterfall involved incidents here. Don't drive to a waterfall and pose in front of it.
Waterfall, what else would it be? Cliff edge. Yeah, that's same.
Yep.
Waterfall.
Yeah.
In the ocean. Waterfall, I like that.
And the US leads the pack in firearm related selfie sides. That's sad. This whole story is just sad.
Yeah. It's weird how people's sense of perspective or sense of danger seems to evaporate when they've got a camera and they're trying with a phone and trying to get that shot. Like, you see pictures of people that have jumped the barrier fence at a tourist attraction so they don't get that in the picture. And it's just like, have you forgotten that's why that's there? Like, that's where the safety fence is. Tim, I must admit, I tried to do something on Twitter the other day.
Are you about to admit a Twitter flop? Is that what's coming?
Well, it was a flop, but it was me taking a selfie video. Would that be what you call it?
Okay.
Yeah. But it was where a stabbing or alleged stabbing had occurred in Adelaide CBD.
All right.
And I was on my way to work and I thought, I'll just take this shot.
Report from the scene.
Pretty much.
Were you going to record yourself talking?
I did. I took a shot of myself saying, here I am.
Yeah.
This is the scene where the...
Because you're a news beast. That's what you do. Yeah.
And someone commented... Well, actually, the only person that commented...
Don't talk it down. You don't... No one needs to know that.
Anyway, he said, be careful. And that is the danger of a selfie. I was so focused on getting myself in the picture and getting the crime scene behind me, and there was cars around. Like, I wasn't walking, thankfully. I was just stationary. But someone could have come up behind me. It was close to 5 a.m. in the morning, so probably past the real dangerous.
Was this concerned citizen worried that you're going to be attacked by a hoodlum? Like, this, the culprit was still on the loose and that you were going to be the next victim?
Oh, I think he was just joking. But
right.
But there was, it made me think, well, yeah, I was totally focused in the middle of the CBD on getting a good frame of a picture.
Yeah.
And anyone could have grabbed me or had their way with me.
You got to take care, newsman.
Yeah, I do.
We don't want you to become a selfie-side statistic.
I agreed. Given no one liked it, I won't do it again.
Did you leave it up or did you...
Yeah, it's still there.
I'm going to go have a look. New work trend heading our way, I hope, Marcus, which I want to gauge your interest in.
I love a good trend. Not so big on work.
Yeah, it's not even really... Is it a trend? Maybe it's more a business practice.
Okay.
Where, looking to me, more and more, like, we're going to start having 4-day working weeks.
Woohoo! That sounds good.
On the face of it, sounds outstanding. A New Zealand company, Perpetual Guardian, has made 4-day weeks a permanent thing after they trialled it, and it was a hit with employees. That's not really surprising. Maybe what is surprising is that working these 4 days, this business found that their employees were more productive.
Uh-huh.
So I guess they're squeezing more work into less days.
Yes.
They claim their productivity went up by 20%. Staff were more engaged and enthusiastic. As I'm reading this, I'm thinking, yeah, for now.
Yeah, exactly. Because you do get a sense of feeling refreshed if you have that extra day. You can definitely feel it when you've had ample time to recover from a weekend or, you know, and but your body would adjust. Generally, you know, people like ourselves, we're highly motivated. We are driven by just a sense of achievement. But others, others, why do you laugh at this comment? Others would, I think, start, what would you call it? Taking corners, cutting corners.
Well, exactly. If you're doing a four-day week, then at some point that's just going to become...
Yeah. Like, oh man, it's only Thursday, only Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll and mooch then, around on Thursday because that's the end of the week.
The thought will start creeping into your mind, what about a three-day week?
Yes. Yeah.
And then where does it stop? Maybe, surely, just thinking on the fly, newsman, I haven't really researched it, I haven't done my due diligence on this, but you, there's an agreement between the employer and the employee, I expect, this many hours of work from you this week. Yep. And then, you know, we're almost at a point where couldn't we just say, all right, where you work those hours is up to you and the job, and, you know, couldn't we have a way more flexible thing?
I'm sure there is, in a few cutting edge places, there would be that sort of understanding. If you get your work done,
yeah,
who cares? But I just reckon there are so many people that if there's a way to diddle the system,
yeah,
they will.
The systems, though, are getting so close to being undiddleable. You know, with computers and software, apps and blah, blah, you can track everything.
Yeah.
So it's you can get very, like, analytical info about what people are doing in their hours at the desk. Or
isn't that funny? We were just speaking to someone who's doing some work experience at our workplace, and she spoke about online university. And I was quizzing her about, oh, couldn't you somehow cheat the system? But there's a real feeling like there's a way that they can monitor your time and involvement in the course.
Yeah, I like how your mind immediately goes to, how can I cheat this system? What corners can I cut? How can I hack this thing?
Yeah.
You are a hacker, basically.
Okay. Well, yes.
Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I can see holes in systems. I like to find the holes in systems. Well, so how do you think you would be a motivated enough worker to produce 5 days of work in four?
I reckon it's doable. The tricky thing for me is saying, okay, you got to do this many hours. Do them however you want. It sounds appealing in theory, in a way, but I also don't like the idea. I don't like the how unstructured that is, because when do you know when you can relax? When can you shut off? Like, if you have a knock off time, then you can kind of go, all right, well, knock off.
Yeah.
You know, and to a greater or lesser extent, depending on the job, you kind of can switch off for that bit until it's time to clock on again, quote unquote. If the hours are just deployed across the week wherever they need to be, you kind of never maybe switching off, never have that downtime, which, like, I think is like massively important.
Yeah, I guess it'd be a bit like a small business where you work until the work is done, and therefore you never break, you never have time off.
Yeah.
I've had a few different sort of working experiences.
What has been your most optimal arrangement?
It depends on at what age and stage your life. When I started my radio career, I'll call it, it was a 10-day on, 4-day off roster.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant starting day one was early Wednesday morning.
Yes.
And so for 5 days in a row, so Wednesday through to Sunday, early mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Then the following week, night shift. So 4 p.m. till midnight for the next 5 days. And then I get a 4-day weekend.
I'm just drawing a diagram of this.
So basically 10 days, 5 earlies, 5 lates, 4 days off after
How'd you find it?
Yeah, good. Good. Because the night shift from the Sunday through to the change from morning to night, you got a sort of big break. So you got Sunday afternoon off and all of Monday was like a mini weekend.
Okay.
And actually, when I was in high school, my school trialed 7 o'clock starts. So we had, I think it was a 7 o'clock start every day, and we got 3 afternoons off a week. So the 2 hours you did in the morning, you got, and that was to optimize study in years 11 and 12.
Okay.
That did not work for me.
Do you remember that point in high school when you started getting like those free periods? And it's like, okay, there's no scheduled class here. You've just got this space to do whatever you want. Now, you can use it to catch up on work you need to do. You can use it to prepare for the test that's coming up. You can use it to do whatever you want to do. And
that was the the last bit there is what everyone went, what?
So everyone went to the Oval and played football. Or, who knows? But it was just like the freedom. Wow, you're trusting me to give to allocate this time, and I can use it as I see fit. And of course, you know, everyone squandered it. So maybe there's a lesson that we should relearn.
Is it Mexico where everyone makes a big deal about how they have a siesta?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, hundreds of years before this. Just take a extended lunch break and come back when you're ready.
Yeah,
come
but then refreshed. You got to, then you work really late, I think, to make up for it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, fine. I'm happy to do a siesta trial phase.
Yeah.
If my boss wants to get that up and running, okay, I'm game. I'll give that a whirl.
So what are we taking from this? That 5 days, 9 to 5, very outdated, very too structured for today's society.
What I'm taking from it is no matter how you slice it, how you dice it, you got to just work your job, mate. Like, however you look at it, do the hours.
Yeah.